Go to Ephesians 5, brethren. I think that Sunday, when we were here, it seemed to me that the message in the Bible class might not have been clearly understood. It could have just been me, but I want to go back here tonight. I'm thankful that the Lord has given us some men that can preach because they believe the Lord, so they speak. I listened to all three of the messages that were preached when I was absent, and the message from Thursday night and the two messages from Sunday. And it's obvious whenever you hear a message that the preacher is looking for light on the Scripture by looking to Christ. Because Christ is our light. Everything we're going to learn in this book about God is going to be seen in the light of Christ. Everything we're going to learn about God's choice of His people and His love, it's in Christ the light. Everything we're going to learn about God's predestination and the adoption of His children is going to be by Christ the light. When you look at God's goodness, you look at God's righteousness, God's truth, God's faithfulness, you see it all in Christ the light. That's where you see it. And when you look to see how God redeems a people, how did He purchase His people with His own blood, you're going to see it by looking at Christ the light. All the counsel of God, everything God has to say from eternity to time to eternity is in Christ. And it is Christ. That's what God would have us to say. That's what God would have us to hear. And that's who God would have us to rest in, Christ the light. He says here in Ephesians 5:13, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest. That's the first word in our title, awake. Here's the second word in our title, and arise from the dead. Awake, arise, and Christ shall give thee light. And Christ shall give thee light. First of all, this is a simple statement of fact. A simple statement of fact. All things that are reproved, that is, everything that's discovered to us, everything that's made so that we can see it, made so we can behold it, everything that convinces us, everything that convicts us, is made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, in order to be reproved, we're going to have to be admonished for our sins. We got to be reproved for our sins. Now, our faults have got to be made known to us. You don't know you're at fault till it's made clear in the light. Our sins have got to be made manifest to us. You don't know your sin till light is shining and you see that's sin. There's what sin is. We don't know that our works, our very best deeds that we thought were righteous, we don't know that those deeds are altogether filthy rags until we have some light. We've got to have light to see that. We don't know that, even as believers, that we're sleeping and slumbering unless Christ gives us light and wakes us up. We don't know that we've fallen into fellowship with workers of darkness and with the works of darkness until Christ shines a light and makes us see. You're far too much in fellowship with works of darkness here. We don't know these things till the light shines and says, awake and arise. And then he tells us this, and Christ will give you more light. He gives you light to wake you. He gives you light to make you arise. And he says, and when he makes you walk in his light, he'll give you more light. Give you more light. Everything we are by nature, everything we do by nature, everything we say by nature, everything we think by nature, everything that we are in our flesh by nature is unprofitable. It doesn't contribute anything. Zero. Nothing. It doesn't help you come to God. It doesn't help you believe on God. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help at all. No darkness helps. Darkness does not help. Darkness will make you see. It won't. And that's all we are by nature, is darkness. We need light to see. We've got to have light. Everything you're going to see, everything you're going to know, it's going to be by light. Now, when we're reproved, it means we're convicted and we're convinced in our hearts. It's clear to us. We see it now. I see it now. Now, it's not pleasant to be reproved. It's not enjoyable. There's nothing comfortable about it. And usually when we're reproved, the first thing we do is shoot the messenger. But when we're reproved spiritually in spiritual things, it's not the messenger that's reproving us. It's God. It's Christ, the light, that's reproving us. He's shining the light on us. And we got a little bit in us still as believers, a lot in us as believers, that wants to jump back into that light, into that darkness whenever the light shines, like a cockroach. You got a cockroach in you, and I do too. And he wants to scurry back in that darkness. We don't want the light. We don't want the light shining on us. But reproof is absolutely necessary if we're going to see our sin, if we're going to continue walking with Christ to light. It's absolutely necessary. It's the first step to being saved. And that's not just in the first hour. That's in every hour. We're being continually saved. And it's the first step to being saved is to see by the light. Now, all things that are reproved are made manifest. They're made open for us to behold by the light. Because whatsoever doth make us see is light. Now, you think about it. When our eyes are darkness, you can't see. You ever just turn the light out and try to see? You've been in a cave and they turn the light out. You just can't see. You can't see nothing. Your eyes are seeing, but there's nothing you can see. You can't see anything. That's a man by nature. He's in darkness. Our eyes are dark by nature. Our heart is dark by nature. So that we can't see. We can't see the light. We can't see who is the light. We can't see our sin. We can't see anything. Everything about us is darkness. That's our natural born condition. Now, the very nature of light is to make you see. That's the nature of light, to make you see things, to make you behold that which previously was darkness. Now, all things that are discovered, that are made to be seen, are by the light. For whatsoever doth make us see is light. Now, what's this light, spiritually speaking? What's the light that reproves us? What is this light? There's three things in Scripture that's given. Really, it's one thing. But the two other things get their light from this one thing. The first thing is the one thing. Is Christ is the light. Christ is the light. God said of His Son, and Christ said when He was in this earth, in John 9:4, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. And He said, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, I've always looked at that and thought, well, as long as Christ walked this earth, He was the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world now. Christ is still in the world right now. Just like He was when He walked this earth. He's in the world spiritually now, like He was in the world physically then. And now the works that He finished when He was in this earth are the works of fulfilling all the prophecy concerning that earthly work He would accomplish. He established His church. He began sending forth the gospel while He was here. He went to the cross, and on that cross He declared God just by Him Himself. Being put under the justice of God and bearing the penalty that justice required for His people, Christ Jesus declared God just. In other words, He Himself ate up and swallowed up and bore in His own body all the suffering of that second death for His people so that God's just. And at the same time doing that, He justified all His people. That's what He did when He was here. It's God that justifies. That's God on the cross. That's God justifying His people. That's God doing the justifying. And there He justified His people. And then He reconciled His people to God. That means everyone He died for is in friendship with God that will never again be broken. Now, they didn't know it. We didn't know it then. But it was done then. He did that work. And Christ on that cross He saved all God's elect. And that's when he said it's finished. The work was finished. That was finished. So what work's he doing now? Well, now those sheep of his that he's redeemed, those children that he's bought, those that he's justified and reconciled, there's a bunch of them still in darkness, and he's calling them out. That's his work. And the work of the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He's on the cross. He's the one that sends forth the preacher. He's the one that blesses the work, praying the Holy Spirit, sending forth the Spirit into the heart. He's the one that makes the light come on. He's the one that makes you see he's the light. He does that. And he's going to keep doing that work till he calls out every single one that he's redeemed. And he won't lose any of them. He's going to save every one of them. And all this work that he does it by his light. Now, this is the day of grace. The night's coming. The night's going to be here when the day of grace is going to be over. But as long as this day of grace is going, Christ is the light. He's the light. All right? Secondly, the gospel we preach is the light. The word that we preach is the light. And the reason the word we... Now, not every gospel is the light. Here's what makes the gospel the light. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We preach the light. That's what makes the gospel the light. And the light, Christ Himself, makes the gospel light in the heart of His people. That's what has to take place. Look at Isaiah 51:4, and I want you to hold your place there because we're going to come back to this in a moment. Isaiah 51:4, when you read the Old Testament, you can read the Old Testament speaking of Christ just like the New Testament speaks of Christ. Hear Christ speaking to His people. The work is put in the hand of Christ from before the foundation of the world, and it's Christ speaking, telling what He's going to do. Now look, He says, "Hearken unto Me, My people, and give ear unto Me, O My nation, for a law shall proceed from Me, and I will make My judgment to rest for a light of the people." Now, you understand that law that's proceeding is the gospel. And that one it's proceeding from is Christ. And He says, I'm going to make this gospel proceed from Me. And He says, and I'm going to make this gospel rest on My people for judgment, for light, for discernment. So they understand and rest in Me. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. You hear me? Read this a lot, quote this a lot, but this is exactly what he just said in Isaiah 51. This is put in New Testament language. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He says there, at the second part of it, he says he calls it the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Christ, who is the image of God. And he talks about it here, shining unto His people. For we preach not ourselves. We don't get up here and preach men. We don't preach man. We don't preach us, ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. We preach the light. This is the means of the light. And the subject of the means is the light, Christ the light. We preach Christ Jesus. And ourselves, nothing but servants. For Jesus' sake, ministers. Sent forth just like you go to a restaurant and there's somebody back in the kitchen that's preparing the food and he sends somebody out to your table and they come out as a waiter and they just bring you the food. That's what a preacher is. He's just a minister. He's just coming from the head that has the food and bringing it to you and putting it on the table. We're ministers of Jesus for Christ's sake. For God, look at verse 6. For God, that's Christ, the Son of God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know who made the first creation? Christ did. He said, let there be light, and there was light. By Him all things were made. Look, and that same God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And here's where we see that light, in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, he says, we just have the treasure in earthen vessels. We're just that tea pitcher in the hand of the person bringing it out that's just pouring it out into your cup. We're just an earthen vessel. He said, excellency of the power is of God and not of us. Christ said, I'll do this. I'll make the light shine forth. I'll send it forth. I'll give you the discernment. So He's the light. So first, Christ is the light. Secondly, the gospel we preach is the light, because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, you who believe, you've been called by His grace, you're children of light. You're children of light. Now look, listen to this. Look back at our text, Ephesians 5. You're children of light. You don't have any light in yourself or of yourself. We're just earthen vessels, the lights of Christ. But you are children of light. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 7. He says there, be not partakers with them. That's the children of disobedience, the children of darkness. For you were sometimes darkness. You used to be darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Now He doesn't say there, now you are children of light. He'll say, use that phrase in a minute. But He says right there, you are light. You were darkness. Now you are light. You are light. You are light. Now, Paul, but down in verse 14, he talks about this work of Christ. He says, wherefore, because everything that makes manifest is light. You got Christ the light, you got the gospel which is the light, and you got His child of light. Everything that's going to make sin discovered is light, he said. All right, now look, wherefore, and Paul puts all this together, wherefore he saith, the Lord saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So here, put this together. Christ the light. He sends forth the gospel of light. And He sends it forth by a child of light. Everything that's going to make manifest is light. Alright? And through that gospel, through that child of light, Christ reproves. He reproved us of our sins. He reproved us of our self-righteousness. He said to us, awake thou that sleepest. There came the reproof. We were dead. He said, awake. When He says awake effectually to you, He'll give you the light in your heart and He'll regenerate you and you will be awake. You'll be awake. But He don't stop there. He don't stop there with just awake thou that sleepest. It's not enough you just to wake up and stay where you're at in the darkness. He says this, arise from the dead. Arise from the dead. Get up. Come out from among them, come out from among the dead, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. And when He speaks this in light, He gives you light to do it. And Christ shall give thee light. When He starts giving you light, He don't stop giving you light. When He begins to make you walk in His light, He gives you light for the next step, and light for the next step, and He gives you more light. And when you walk in it, He gives it to you. You walk in it, He gives it to you. You stop walking in His light, He's gonna again speak in reproof and say, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. You've laid down again, back down with the dead again, in fellowship with the workers of darkness and with the works of darkness. Awake and arise from that dead, and He'll give you the light to do it, and I'll give you more light. And He'll keep giving you light. This don't ever stop, brethren. Once He starts doing this, from then on, this is what Christ does for us. All right, so secondly, let's hear this exhortation Christ gives us through the Apostle Paul in our text. Back up in verse 8, he said now, in verse 7, I'm sorry, he said, now don't be partakers with the children of disobedience. And he says there, because you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 13, he says, and remember this, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore? Now get this now. Here's a word to us now. Christ right now says, right now he says this, to you and me who are children of light, who are asleep in this privilege he's given to us. Right now. He says to you and me, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. When Christ makes us light in the Lord, he sends us forth to do one thing. He sends us forth to be children of light. He sends us forth to shine as children of light. Now, he said the way you do that is by the gospel of the light of Jesus Christ. That's the way. That's the way. And he tells us here that you do this by not being in fellowship with workers of darkness, by not being in fellowship with the works of darkness, but by being separate from them, coming out from them, arising from that dead, and by holding forth this light. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. So he says, awake and arise from the dead, come out from among the children of darkness, and walk as children of light. Now, how do I walk? I want you to get this now. Number one, having no fellowship with the children of darkness. He said in verse, in Ephesians 5, he says in verse 7, be not partakers with them. And then down in verse 11, I walk as a child of light, but having no fellowship with their works. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I walk as a children of light, thirdly, by reproving them. You know what reproving means? Reproving is like, tonight we were on our way here, and Robert and Will were riding along in front of us in the Jeep, and there was a deer on the side of the road. And that deer was in the darkness, and all of a sudden, their lights, their high beams shined on that deer. They reproved that deer. They brought that deer out in the light. That deer was in. That's what reproving is. Bring it out in the light. Bring it to the light. That's reproving. Reprove them. And he says, but now remember verse 13. All things that are reproved, all things that are brought to the light, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It is light. So he says for this reason. Wherefore he said, that's the reason Christ says to you and me, who are children of light right now. He says, now you wake up. You're not going to reprove anybody or walk as a child of light when you're slumbering in darkness. You can't do it that way. You've got to wake up. And he says, and arise from the dead. You can't do it by being in fellowship with the workers of darkness or in fellowship with their works. You can't do it that way. And he says, but awake from the darkness, arise from the dead, from the darkness, and Christ will give you the light you need. Christ is that light. He gives you the light you need. All right? That's what he's telling. Wake up. He's saying, you're in too much fellowship with darkness. This is what he was sent with Paul to tell the Ephesians. And he's done it over and over through the years to churches. He's had preachers preach this passage in churches. And now I'm here preaching it. And Christ is continually through the ages, from Ephesians to the church at Ephesus to now. He said, wake up now. You're in too close fellowship with the workers of darkness. Arise and come out from among them. Leave the workers of darkness. And remember who the light is. It's Christ. And he's the one that's given you the light to do all these things. And he'll continue to give you the light. All right. Now I want you to go over to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. I want you to see a passage here where the Lord did the same, sent his messenger to say the same thing to a people, and he reproved them, and he told them the same exact message. This has always been the way Christ is saved. He did the same thing right here, using Isaiah as the preacher. Now, we're going to come to this pretty soon in our Isaiah series, so I'm not going to comment a lot on it, but you know me better than to know I'm going to read it without comment on it. I'm going to say something about it. Here we go. Isaiah 58:1. He says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Christ sends his child of light. That's Isaiah. Christ the light sends his child of light, Isaiah. And he says to him, now, you speak the light that I give you to speak. And you, this is how you're going to reprove them. This is how you're going to make their sins be seen in the light. All right, here it is. He says in verse 2, he says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. He said, you think that the way they like to seek me and the way they delight in my ways, you think they do righteousness. And he says, and as a people that forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Now, This shows us they are religious people. They're religious people. And that tells us, brethren, that when we look at our text over there in Ephesians, primarily that's what Paul's talking about, is unfruitful works, religious works of darkness. Now, they delighted to approach, they delighted to ask, they delighted to even ask about judgment. But they didn't delight to do what God told them to do, what Christ told them to do. Now next, this light's going to expose their works of darkness. What was it they were doing? They hear Christ speak, but then what would they do? All right, listen to these questions that these professing believers asked the Lord. Verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? They're speaking to the Lord. Why do we fast, and you don't pay us attention? Now here's the Lord's answer, which he commanded Isaiah to reprove his people with. Verse 3. Behold, behold. That word means, you see by this light I'm giving you. Take this light like a lantern now and look. Look at this. He says, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. You find pleasure in the day. And you exact all your labors. Now, here's the reproof. True separation from the world. True separation from the world, from the works of vain religion and from all vain sinful works, is a fast. It's a spiritual fast. It's to not feed on it anymore. It's to be separated from it. That's what a true fast is. Now look at this. He said, but they were calling it a fast to separate themselves and to approach God on one day, just one day out of the week. And they delighted in that one day, just that one day. And on that day, they exacted all their labors. They kept up with everything they did on that day. And they exacted the labors keeping up with everything other people didn't do on that day. And he said this. He's saying, if our reason for fasting from the works and the false religion and from the free will works religion is just for one day, on one day out of the week, to come in and do what we're doing right here, and to keep up with everything we've done on that day and mark those that don't do as we do on that day, if that's what our religion is about and our worship is about, it's vain. It's a work of darkness. We worship God every day of the week. We want to follow Him and do as He says every day of the week. All right, now look at verse 4. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You should not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. They did without one day. They did without everything. And they went, called it worshiping God. But their purpose of doing it was so they could strive with those that were different and debate with those that were different and smite those that were different. Now, if that's what our worship is about, if we love the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of God's election, of His particular redemption, of His predestination, of His sovereignty, if we love those things just so we can strive with folks that preach a false gospel, and so we can debate with them and smite them, then, brethren, that fist we're smiting with them is just as wicked as theirs is. It's darkness. That's all it is. I know folks, it seems like, and it just, you run into folks like this that claim to believe the gospel, and it seems like if they weren't able to strive against false religion and debate false religion and smite false religion, they wouldn't have any delight. But you see, what Christ is telling us, that's darkness. That's not what exposes darkness. Light exposes darkness. You can talk about what people do wrong all day long, and it's shameful to even speak of the things that they do. That ain't going to bring them to Christ the light. Mm-mm. Preaching Christ the light is going to... Remember the old saying, I don't know who said this originally, but if you want to see a crooked stick, lay a straight stick down beside it. You want to see darkness, speak light. That's how darkness is seen. That's what he's saying here. And when you're reproving somebody by striving with them and debating with them and smiting them and just speaking of all their works of darkness, you're making your voice heard on high. We're not going to bring anybody to the light of Christ by speaking our word. We got to speak Christ's voice. We got to speak His word. We got to speak the light. That's what we got to speak, not our voice. All right, look at verse 5. Is it such a fast that I've chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? True separation from darkness is a separation of our entire life. Broken and contriteness of the heart is in the heart. It's within. It doesn't mean you go around all the time with your head hanging down and acting so humble. There is no greater pride in that mess than to go around acting like I'm just nobody. You're so proud of that. That's pride. And that's what these folks were doing. They were spreading out this sackcloth and these ashes, and they were acting all humble on this day and acting like they were so down and so contrite, so broken. And it was not submission to the Lord, because the Lord said, I didn't command you to do that. I didn't command you to do that. We can act humble, but if we have this pride of thinking that we can expose works of darkness by our voice, by smiting and striving and doing those things, and by acting all humble. You can act humble as you want to. But what it's proven, brethren, is a person is not in submission to Christ the light. She's not using the light that Christ sent him to use. He alone does the work through the light of the gospel. Now, that's reproof, isn't it? That's reproof. Now, here's the work Christ does through the light of the gospel. This is what he does through the light of the gospel. We're said to do this here. But the reason that we're said to do this is because we're just preaching the light of Christ. It's Christ that does this. Watch this. Now, we do this in the sense that physically you can do these things as well. And we ought to do these things temporally, physically as well. But this primarily is what Christ does in the heart through the gospel. Look at this. Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? This is true worship, true separation from the world, true delight and submission to Christ right here. Is to loose the bands of wickedness. Is to undo the heavy burdens. Is to let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. That's what Christ does in the gospel. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? That's what Christ does in the gospel. Everything written there. And that's what he makes his people willing to do physically as we are able in this world to follow what he did for us spiritually. We want to break the yokes off of people. We want to bring them out of oppression. We want to cover them. We want to deal bread to them. We want to bring them to our house. We want to do for people whatever we can do for them physically. But the greater important thing is the spiritual thing. Preaching the gospel will do this to them in the heart by Christ doing it for them. And next, the promise is, now if he says, now that's your reproof, there's your light. He's saying to them, awake from your darkness and arise from being fellowship with workers of darkness and from being in this darkness. And he says, and Christ shall give thee light. Now look what he says right here, verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. If for you personally, if you preach Christ the light, people are going to see Christ, our light, breaking forth like the sun rising in the morning. They're going to see Him. And for you personally, Christ says, I'll give you light just like that too. And then if you preach Christ, they're going to see Christ as our health. He's our life. They're going to see that and not see us. And He says, and I'll be your life too. He says, before those to whom we speak, they'll see that Christ is our righteousness going before us, and that He's the glory as our reward. He's the glory all around us. But Christ is our righteousness. That's what they'll hear in the gospel. And He says, and also, I'll make you see it more. You see what He's saying? You see, when light shines, it blesses everybody to see, and it blesses the one that's holding the light. Everybody's blessed by the light. So look at verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak in vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee, those that are born of you through preaching this gospel, shall build the old waste places. In fact, they themselves will be the living stones that Christ has built up of His house, that were broken down in Adam and in sin. And He says, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That's all done by the gospel. Now, you just see what He said there? It's just what He's saying in our text. He told them, now here's the reproof. Awake out of this slumber and arise from this death, and I'll give you more light. He'll have to give them the light to make them do it. And He said, and I'll give you more light. Your light will shine forth if you obey Him. That's what He's saying. All right, now let's go back. Let's go back to our text. I had another passage in Isaiah to show you, but we'll see it when we get to it. Let's go now to back to Ephesians 5. I just want to look closely here at these last two verses, verse 15 and 16. I just want to look at those. This is now what He says. He comes to this and He says, verse 15, see then, take heed, that you walk circumspectly. It means accurately. It means exactly as Christ teaches us to walk in the gospel and using the gospel. He says, not as fools, not like children of darkness, using their means and their methods and sinning all the while, but as wise, as those that has Christ for our wisdom. Now the world's full of traps and the way's narrow, and so for our own safety, we got to walk cautiously. That's what He's saying. Walk cautiously. Always be looking to Christ for wisdom. It means don't just come in here now tonight and just one day out of the week go, all right, now I've gone in there. If that's a fast, God said, that's darkness. If that's your religion, that's darkness. But leave here looking to Christ, seeking to walk cautiously through this world, following Christ our wisdom. That means we're going to have to look in His Word. We're going to have to ask Him to give us light. We're going to have to be clinging to Him. How would you follow Christ if He was walking this earth physically? Wouldn't you hang right on His heels? Wouldn't you listen to every word He said? Well, we can't do that physically. But spiritually, every word He says is right here. You want to hang on His heels? Keep this book close by and read it, study it. And just ask Him. He's right near you all the time. He said, just ask me and I'll give you some light. Just ask me. All right, and also that we give no offense to others, because we're sent forth. He said, "A light, a candle that's lit, you don't light it and you put it under a bushel on the bed." He said, "You light it, hold it up on purpose, because you want people to see light." And He said, "Now you're a city on a hill. You're lit up now. And a city on a hill, you see it way off." And so He's telling us, everybody in this world that's in darkness, they're gonna see you. They're gonna see you. I have people all the time come around me that I don't even know. I don't even know how they know. Maybe they've heard. So I don't know how they know that I'm a preacher, but they've heard it. Maybe they went online and listened. I don't know. But every time they come around, I mean, without me saying a word, they'll start talking religious language. Every time. You know, and it's, they see you. They know who you are, even when you don't know them and don't know how in the world they know who you are. You know that man that came here not too long ago, he's come two or three times as a preacher, and he stayed over at the church at Princeton College when he came. You know how he found us? The librarian in the Princeton Library told him about us. He told him what he was looking for, and she said, here's where you want to go. How did she know that? I don't know. But she do it, they see you. They know where you are. So don't do anything to stain that. We got an eye, big brother's watching right here in this room all the time now, all over the world, everywhere. And they see everything. That's what he's saying there. All right, now look. I had this illustration. I'll give this to you quickly. Two men traveling along a path, and it's full of robbers. It's got sharp curves and steep cliffs and real narrow path. And there's two men, and they start out, and they've been told from the beginning about what this path's like, about the robbers and the traps and the dangers and the cliffs and everything. And they take off riding along. And one man, he's asleep on the trip. And by asleep, I mean he's got his mind on his occupation. All he can talk about is his spouse and his children and all the responsibilities he's got and everything that he's got to do. And he's talking about he's running down false religion. He's running down free will works religion. He's running down the devil. And he's running down all these things and talking about how evil all these things are. But he's not even looking to where he's going. The other man heard the word. And he's looking. He's looking at the map. He's looking at where the pitfalls are. He's looking at where the curve is. He's reading that map, studying that map. He's repeating what he's heard, the warning that he's been given. He's focusing all his attention on the instruction he's been given, the way he's been told to go. He's focused on that. And all the other things that's important in his life, they're all in the background. He's focusing on the way he's told to go. Which of these two men is the wise man? The Lord said this, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And he said this, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." He says here to us, brethren, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now look here. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. This is real simple. Redeeming the time means this. It means the time of our life is filled with daily and even hourly. It's filled all the time with opportunities that God gives us to speak as Christ has told us to speak and to walk as Christ has told us to walk. Every day. Opportunities are given to us by God for that very reason. The wise man is looking for and recognizing the time. He's recognizing the opportunity. And every test and every blessing and every sorrow and every gladness is an opportunity that Christ has put before us. And the wise man's looking and he's going to pay. He's going to redeem whatever price he has to pay. Whatever he has to, that means whatever he has to let go of, even as much as he might love it and want to do it, or whatever he needs that he needs to bear, he's going to do it. He's going to redeem the opportunity. He's going to take advantage of the opportunity to teach the light of Christ, which he has been taught. All right, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I found out that today, my kids would be out of school all day and be at home. And that my wife had meetings all day and she'd be gone. So, I woke up this morning and I still had a lot of work ahead of me. A whole lot of work to do. And I was awakened, literally. Wake, awake! But it wasn't the Lord speaking, it was my son speaking. And he was ready to take advantage of the day that he had off. And he wanted to... he had been already planning it. He wanted this friend and this other friend, and they were all going to get together and do this and that and whatever. And so he came to me, and I was the critical part of this because I had to do the shuttling and get everybody to every place and everything else. And I got all this work to do. And I'm thinking, all of this is going to stop me from doing what I have to do. And it was like the Lord said, "Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead." I started losing my patience. I really did. And he was like saying to me, "Awake, you're asleep. Awake, arouse, get up from the dead and take advantage of this opportunity." And so what I ended up doing, this is only by his grace, this is only by his light, because I had been studying this. And it was like all of a sudden I realized, this is just what I've been studying. It's just what I've been studying. Here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity that the Lord's given me, an opportunity to teach him patience by being patient, an opportunity to teach him what's more important, play or the word of the Lord. What's more important? Why is it so important that I need to get a message to bring to God's people? Because Christ is our life. We've got to have Christ. We can do without the other things. We've got to have Him. We've got to have Him. And so the very thing that I thought was going to hinder me from getting the message was the thing the Lord used to give me the message. To give me the message. He does that every day of our life, brethren. He gives you something, and He gives you an opportunity, and He tells you why to take the opportunity, because the days are evil. The devil's taking advantage of every opportunity he's been given to teach darkness. And the world and the workers of darkness are using everything they can to teach our children darkness. So He tells us, you look for every opportunity. You look for every opportunity that God's given you to speak the word. I won't read it now for sake of time. But if you'll go home tonight and read Colossians 4, you'll find there in about the first six verses, Paul says that exact same thing. Redeem the time. And he says why. He says that he take the opportunity. Speak as you ought to speak. Now, let's read it together. And Christ said He'll give you more light. Walk in that light and He'll give you more light. I just paused this morning. I went and talked to Will. We worked it out. He got to play with his friends. But I sat down with him and talked to him about this first. And then when I went back and sat down to study, it was like I couldn't write fast enough. Just God gave me the light. He said, walk in the light I've given you. I'll give you more light. Let's read it. Wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen. All right, brethren. Well, Eric, if you'll come close, lead us in a closing hymn. And